the epistle for Sexagesima Sunday is taken from St. Paul's second letter to the Corinthians, chapters 11 and 12. Brethren, you gladly put up with fools because you are wise yourselves. For you suffer it if a man enslaves you, if a man devours you, if a man takes from you, if a man is arrogant, if a man slaps your face. I speak to my own shame, as though we had been weak. But wherein any man is bold, I am speaking foolishly, I also am bold. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they offspring of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I, to speak as a fool, am more. In many more labors, in prisons more frequently, in lashes above measure, often exposed to death. From the Jews 5 times I received 40 lashes, less one. Thrice I was scourged, once I was stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I was adrift on the sea, in journeyings often, in perils from floods, in perils from robbers, in perils from my own nation, in perils from the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils from false brethren, in labor and hardships, in many sleepless nights, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Besides those outer things, there is my daily pressing anxiety, the care of all the churches. Who is weak, and I am not weak? Who is made to stumble, and I am not inflamed? If I must boast, I will boast of the things that concern my weakness. The God and the Father of the Lord Jesus, who is blessed forevermore, knows that I do not lie. In Damascus, the governor under King Aretas was guarding the city of the Damascenes in order to arrest me. But I was lowered in a basket through a window in the wall and escaped his hands. If I must boast, it is not indeed expedient to do so, but I will come to visions and to revelations of the Lord. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago, whether in the body I do not know, or out of the body I know not, God knows. Such a one was caught up to the third heaven. And I know such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I know not, God knows, that he was caught up into the paradise and heard secret words that man may not repeat. Of such a man I will boast, but of myself I will glory in nothing save my infirmities. For if I do wish to boast, I shall not be foolish, for I shall be speaking the truth. But I forbear lest any man should reckon me beyond what he sees in me or hears from me. And lest the greatness of the revelation should puff me up, there was given me a thorn of the flesh, or the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet me. Concerning this I thrice besought the Lord that it might leave me. And he has said to me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for strength is made perfect in weakness. Gladly, therefore, I will glory in my infirmities, that the strength of Christ may dwell in me. And then the gospel. It is taken from that according to St. Luke chapter 8. At that time, when a very great crowd was gathering together and the men from every town were resorting to him, he said in a parable, The sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside and was trodden underfoot, and the birds of the air ate it up. Another seed fell upon the rock, and as soon as it had sprung up, it withered away, because it had no moisture. Another seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. And other seed fell upon good ground, and sprang up and yielded fruit 100-fold. And he said these things. As he said these things, he cried out, He who has ears to hear, let him hear. But his disciples then began to ask him what this parable meant. He said to them, To you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but to the rest in parables, that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand. Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God, and those by the wayside are they who have heard. Then the devil comes, takes away the word from their heart, and they may not believe and be saved. Now those upon the rock are they who, when they have heard, receive the word with joy. And these have no root, but believe for a while, and in time of temptation fall away. And that which fell among the thorns, these are they who have heard, and as they go their way are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not ripen. But that upon the good ground, these are they who with a right and good heart, having heard the word, hold it fast and bear fruit in patience. That's why the words of today's Holy Gospel. So then a few considerations on this Septuagesimus season, this very short season. Started last Sunday with Septuagesima, 70 days in theory before Easter, and then this Sunday Sexagesima, the 60 days, and then next Sunday Quinquagesima, 50 days. And these three Sundays and a few extra days until Ash Wednesday is a season of preparation for Lent. When we look back to the history of this season, it started, remember, as I mentioned last Sunday and mentioned each year, Septuagesima Sunday was originally considered the first day of the liturgical year. And that is when these epistles and gospels were chosen. And they were chosen with a view of the beginning of the liturgical year. And this season was the season of preparation for the entire year. So that the souls that attended Mass last Sunday, this Sunday, and next Sunday are being given in germ all they need to know in order to live a successful and liturgical year, so that at the end of this liturgical year, which will in the old days end right before the Septuagesima Sunday, that they would grow in the supernatural life, leave behind a little bit more sin, exit the evil life if they're living an evil life, and live a good life. And so what's the key? And there's two ways of looking at the last three Sundays, last Sunday, this Sunday, and the following Sunday, through the epistles and the Gospels. And one of them is the consideration of the priests, and the other, the consideration of the faithful. And the primary way of looking at it is under the aspect of the faithful. So even though we consider the priests, it is under the aspect of the faithful. You all come into contact with priests throughout your life. And without contact to priests, you can't go to heaven. And so the church tells us in the gospel of last Sunday, the gospel of this Sunday, and the gospel of next Sunday, the different kinds of priests you're going to come into contact with, and their different faults. Remember our Lord said, pray to the Lord of the harvest that he send laborers into the harvest. And these laborers are firstly the priests of the church. Well, last Sunday, there's the gospel of the vineyard. It was a kind of a consideration of the history of the world and the history of the soul, in which laborers come into the vineyard early in the morning, others come at the third hour, others at the sixth, others at the ninth, and finally at the 11th hour. And then at the end of the day, the laborers want their denarius, and they do not understand that the denarius is the measure of love. But they think of it as an external thing. And so, when the end of the day comes, the laborers that worked all the day in the heat of the day are upset that those at the 11th hour receive the same amount. These are the priests who you come into contact with in life, who are too focused on the external things. You've got to fulfill these precepts, you've got to do these external things, you've got to do these external works, And if you don't meet my requirements and do things precisely my way, then there you're out. You're out. You're out. You're out. They count things only by what they think they should be paid by the external things. And our Lord says in the gospel today, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Now we have to obey the external commandments. We've got to obey the external laws. But we should not be lost in the externals, lost in the letter of the law. And there are some priests who are overly aware of the letter of the law and who have lost the sense of the Spirit. And these are the priests that complain at the end of the day because of the laborers who are paid as much as them. Also, they come at all times of life. The priest comes to you at each stage of your life, whether you be at the third hour, at the sixth hour, the ninth, or the 11th hour. So another consideration of the faithful in relation to the priest. One, some priests are too external. But another is, God will send you priests at various stages of your lives. Even at the 11th hour, with the deathbed conversion and so on. So that God will provide, through the priest, a means of salvation. But the priests of the last Sunday, Septuagesima, considered too much the externals, and that was their weakness. And this Sunday, Sexagesima, we considered the priest again. And our Lord says that a sower went out to sow seed, and the seed falls on several kinds of bad ground, which we're not going to consider in this sermon here, and then on good ground. And then no one understands. There was a very great crowd, it says, around him. A larger crowd than normal. Our Lord was often surrounded by a large crowd, but it says in the beginning of the gospel today that it was a very great crowd, more than normal. And our Lord looked out upon them and he saw the various kinds of seed in front of him. He saw the kinds of souls. He saw rocky ground that would be excited about his word and then depart from that word. He saw the bad ground that would simply not listen to him at all. He saw the thorny ground that would listen to him and then go out and be squelched by the cares of the world. And then he saw the good ground. And what Christ saw when he looked in that major crowd was all the different types of ground. And he had the seed. And that's the reason why at the end of his words, he was speaking to every individual soul in the crowd. You are bad ground. You are rocky ground. You are thorny. You are the ground that is on the wayside with the thorns. And you are good ground. And they didn't know what he was talking about. And the apostles didn't know what he was talking about. He didn't know that our Lord was speaking directly to each of the individuals in the crowd personally. And that is why our Lord says, "He that has ears to hear, let him hear." They do not understand. They do not hear. The apostles don't hear either. So then later on, the apostles say, "Lord, we don't know what you meant by that." And so our Lord explains the parable to the apostles in private, when they are alone with him. And he says, "To you it is given to understand, but to them it is not given to understand, that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand." And here is one of the mysteries of the faith, which many of the enemies of the church reject. Well, they all reject it. And that is the truth of the gospel. The faithful cannot understand Jesus Christ's words unless a priest explains it to them. Those are the words of Christ himself. You can read the gospel yourself, but unless you hear the words explained by a priest, you will not understand. It is the reason why we priests are obliged under pain of mortal sin to preach a sermon on Sundays. Maybe a few exceptions, but in general we're obliged to do that. Because the priest must explain and expound the words of God that are contained in the gospel, because the faithful have no other way of coming into the proper understanding of those words. And that's from the gospel today. This being the case, Christ asks other times in the gospel that the faithful must pray for their priests. You must pray for holy priests. Because the priest learns about Christ's teaching not from the seminary and not from his studies. We all studied the same books when we were in the seminary. We all heard the same words. And we heard when our Lord said, "This is rocky ground, and this is thorny ground, and this is the wayside, and this is good ground." We read about it in our books. But our Lord was speaking about souls. And we did not see it in souls when we were seminarians. How do we learn what these words mean? By going to the Lord in private and saying, "Lord, what does this mean?" And that is done by the priest praying in front of the tabernacle, by being alone with the Lord. This is something which is necessary to the priesthood, and it is also necessary in your own lives as well, insofar as you can. When you have things you do not understand, you need to go alone with the Lord. You need to come into the chapel where Christ is present, body, blood, and soul, and divinity, and be in His presence, and there ask the answer to the problems that you have in life. You must pray for priests. One of the requests of the church throughout the year, this used to be the beginning of the year. You want to live a liturgical year, you need to pray for priests. You want to receive the sacraments, it requires a priest. You need a priest for confession. You need a priest for baptism. Well, then you need to pray for priests that are going to be a benefit to your soul. And that is why there's a very good apostolate that we have, the Prayer Crusade for Priests. Each one says a rosary, a decade of the rosary for a priest, says makes prayers and sacrifices for a particular priest, that priest may learn the divine ways, because they don't come automatically, because you went through the seminary. It comes through the same school that we all have to go through, the good old-fashioned school of hard knocks, combined with the school of the tabernacle. And these schools are necessary for the priest to do his work. So you got to pray for priests. He that has ears to hear, let him hear. And then in the third week, next Sunday, we have the consideration of our Lord. This is right before Lent, Quinquagesima Sunday. And it is our Lord goes to Jerusalem the last time. It's the Gospel of St. Luke chapter 18. And He tells the apostles, the Son of Man is going to Jerusalem. He is going to be betrayed. He is going to be put to death. And the evangelist says, and they did not understand the words that He spoke. The meaning was hidden from them. Neither did they understand anything that He said. Three separate emphasis, a triple emphasis, that the apostles had no idea what Christ was saying. Because they did not understand the cross. We can look at three stages of the spiritual life as well in these three Sundays. Last Sunday, the denarius and the labor, the external aspect of the Catholic faith. In the beginning, we must do the external things, but we must not stop there. This Sunday, we begin to understand a little deeper about what these externals are about. They are about living the faith. And then next Sunday, the third stage of spiritual life, the embracing of the cross. As Bishop Sheen would say in one of his retreats to priests, in several of his retreats to priests, he says, "You priests, you fathers, you have two options. You can preach cheap moralisms, or you can preach Christ crucified." And a priest that does not preach the cross preaches cheap moralisms that do no good. And there comes a stage where we must learn the value and the beauty of the cross. And none of us can escape that stage of the spiritual life. We begin with "Get workers in the vineyard" last Sunday. And then we ask ourselves, what kind of a worker am I this Sunday? And then next Sunday, we want to become good workers. We're going to embrace the cross. And that is the soul's preparing for the entire liturgical year from the aspect of the priests. On the aspect of the faithful, it's much the same thing. Last Sunday, we must go into the vineyard and work for Christ. We'll learn our details later. But go into the vineyard. You know where the true church is? Go to it. You know what your duties are? Do them. She may be a rotten woman, but she's your wife. Therefore, you've got to love her. He may be a rotten guy. He's your husband. Love him. Do your duty. In the beginning, it's not fun. But you've got to get out in the vineyard, and you've got to start pulling the weeds, and you've got to get to work. And I don't care if it's the third hour, the sixth hour, the ninth hour, or the 11th hour. It's never too late to get in the vineyard and work. That means right now. I don't care how old you are and how much of your life you have wasted. Now is the time to get into the vineyard and work. So that's stage one. Stage two Ask why you work and examine your own soul. What kind of a soul am I? Am I rocky ground? Am I thorny ground? Am I too worried about the things of the world? Am I too fickle? Is there maliciousness in my heart? And the answer is to be good ground. And the good ground is explained by our Lord. First stage, get out and do the physical work. Second stage, become good ground. And what is the good ground? But upon the good ground, these are they who, with a right and good heart, having heard the word, hold it fast and bear fruit in patience. One of the problems of us is that we're too flighty of creatures. Good ground is single-minded, works on one fault at a time, tries to attain one goal at a time. This is how the soul plods forward in the spiritual life, one thing at a time. So work on one fault this year. Perhaps it's just stopping your cursing, your habit of cursing. Let's work on that. Let's bring it into it. And somehow your whole spiritual life will become better. Perhaps it's the fact that you're not saying your rosary every day. Well, this year, say it every day and forget about everything else. Focus on the rosary and say it on time. And then somehow everything else is going to become better. To persevere in patience, the patient man holds fast to something. He never lets go, and he moves at a steady and slow pace. This is the safest pace to travel through the spiritual life, says our Lord Jesus Christ in the Gospel. Too many ups and too many downs. There's no end, there's no guarantee where we're going to end up. But patient plodding means heaven. Patient plodding. And then next Sunday, learn to embrace the cross. The same holds true. The priest must preach the cross, and all of us must embrace the cross. Our Lord came to this world in order to die. So we have to die with Him if we're going to rise. We came into this world, we want to rise from the dead. We want to have a resurrection. But we can't have a resurrection unless we unite ourselves to Him in His death. Then we will rise with Him. Our Lord didn't need to rise, but we do. And we can't rise unless we're connected to Him in His death. And so it's important for us to become closely connected to our Lord and His cross. Travel through the stages of the spiritual life. Make sure we're on the journey and that we are not idle like those in the workplace last week. We're not in the workplace, we're not in the market day idle, not working our salvation. Working our salvation means something spiritual every day. The rosary, morning prayers, night prayers. There has to be something spiritual that we do every day. Let's make sure that we do it. And then we'll be ready to enter into the kingdom of heaven at the end of it all. And I'll close it at that. And God bless you all. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.